This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dub Nation is Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Matter of fact, I mean, really?
This is true.
I mean,
I heard you say, put it all in the Lakers. I heard you say it.
Whatever. Coming off a game like that, for him to be so mean-spirited, that's bad karma.
Well, he's...
Pajemski?
That's in your face. It's in the face is what it is.
And I meant to tell you, Grandy, to cut Gary St. Jean from... Warriors Weekly and his pronunciation of pods because you could add it to the reel because
I'll have another opportunity next week. Don't worry.
What did he go with? I didn't hear it.
It's either Pajemski or Pajemski. It's something that's close but no cigar.
I love it.
We love the Saint, but I don't think he's gotten Pajemski's name right once this
good,
year.
Good.
Nor does it matter.
That's exactly how I would expect Saint to be with that. That's perfect.
Yep.
And I did hear him say on Warriors roundtable earlier this week, I hate that guy Dylan Brooks. And then Dylan went out that night and got himself suspended.
Yeah, he did.
I was like, ooh, Saint nailed that one.
No doubt.
Perfect. Hey, we're live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We're live out at Splash, but wherever we are, wherever these microphones turn on, they are the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco, and we're so excited to have Laughing Monk along for the ride. If you don't have tickets for the game tonight, maybe find a Laughing Monk and watch the game. It is a great place to do that. 888-957-9570. I do think coming up in about 10 minutes, we would love to let you hear specifically what Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green said last night on a number of topics, but mainly Jonathan Kuminga, because I really thought they captured what this whole thing is all about. And if you've listened to this show with any regularity, we've done our damn best all week to, like, not use his name. Not in a disrespectful way, actually in a respectful way. We did not want to go down the road of just talking back and forth constantly about Jonathan Kuminga and making that some sort of angst-filled conversation as this thing unfolds, particularly because at the beginning of the week, he wasn't even playing.
Right.
He wasn't even playing. So, look, the bottom line for me, and we'll get into it, the bottom line for me was there's been messaging and they've been asking for Jonathan to play a certain way. More often than not, it hasn't really quite looked that way. And then we also got the word earlier this week from Dalton Johnson that the analytics the Warriors have suggest that he and Jimmy Butler are not productive when together on the floor. These things are concerning. But last night felt like a damn shower after a hike. Like, that is exactly...
Great call.
That is exactly what I feel like the Warriors want him to do. And for him to be focused on that, and for him to go out and do it, and to do it on that night, I mean, that's special. That's a big, big deal to me.
It's huge, and I have been catching myself all day trying to avoid the why can't you do that all the time ideology of that, as opposed to, like, that was awesome. Like, what he did was awesome, and the fact that he played like he played is incredible. And, yeah, it's, you know, sometimes you look up to people and then they disappoint you in the moment, and that's great, but Jonathan Kuminga didn't do that. He played great. He delivered the effort, the rebounding, the defense, the sturdiness, the smart shot making, all of it, Mark. I don't want to look too far ahead of, like, yep. Well, why can't you do that all the time? He did it one time, and that matters.
Yes, he did. And yep. Speaking of special, as you were doing that,
yeah.
You're unloading on that whole monologue,
yeah.
And it was really good, but I was distracted the whole time.
Yeah. Hold on, I need to put this on.
Because a Hall of Famer was walking
oh,
up
yeah.
and giving us the stink eye the whole time. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Mullin joins us right now live on set.
Dibs, please don't do that.
The Dibs. What's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Can you stand this guy? He brings this stuff to taunt us.
No.
He's got the zebra shirt.
He's got the zebra shirt, Mullin.
And dude, what'd you do?
Yeah, well.
Oh, no, it's real bad.
Yeah,
it's real bad, Mullin. It's real bad.
Did you take a charge? What'd you do?
No, what happened was I, as an undersized, unathletic young man.
I can relate.
1980.
No, you can't.
I can relate.
1980, as a basketball junkie, I was watching, like, Big Monday, and I saw a slow-footed white guy who could shoot at St. John's, and I thought, you know what? I want to be him. So I taught myself to shoot left-handed, and I pursued a dream of being a basketball player because of Chris Mullin. Come to find out, I'm no good. You're a Hall of Famer. And so I turned into my other hero, Zach Zarba, and that's why I donned the stripes.
Who's also from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, of course he is. All the best are from Brooklyn, New York. Mullin, what's going
on?
We
have so much more in common because my body's about the same as yours right now.
Yeah.
And we're slow. We can't jump.
I mean,
we wound up in the same place.
Yeah, here we
Listen,
are.
Listen, if it makes you feel any better, dude. I sat here today and watched both of you walk across Live City, and you move better than he does.
Way better.
There is no question.
And he's a handful of years older. I don't want to put him out there on Front Street, but this Mully, so good to see you,
my
man.
My pleasure, man.
Yeah.
Right, bumper
thanks
you
for coming
yeah,
by,
my
man.
Pleasure. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
How's it going? Pretty good game last night.
Excellent game.
Right?
I mean, seriously, since Jimmy's got here, it's been amazing. I mean, the numbers bear it out, but when you watch games, actually, last night I watched a game. I had, like, some dead feet, so I didn't get the – I was somewhere. I was watching my phone, and you just watching the game with no input and his impact. And he didn't have a great game last night.
Right.
But all of a sudden, the inside-out threat, back to fundamentals, inside-out. Sounds simple, but with Jimmy, that's exactly what's happening. I think now this starting lineup's 13-0, which puts a perfect, obviously, that alone. But now the bench has been solidified. Jonathan had a great game last night. It's got the 2022 feel. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not making that prediction, but we all know how they found their rhythm late in the season after Steph was out. I think that's where they are now. It's exciting to watch, and really happy for Steph and Draymond that they've, you know, they talked about this when they kind of flatlined playing meaningful basketball,
right.
And that's what we have now.
You know, and you kind of talking about the effect that Jimmy had on the game, even though he didn't put up numbers. You're a great person to ask this because you were an NBA one. You were a lead scorer on your team. And I watched these guys, Memphis, they needed to put up big numbers. Last night, they had more from their role players. Is that something that you sort of read night to night? Can you feel how your role players are performing? And then do you try to feed them a little bit more? How strategic is that when your role is lead scorer?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's a huge difference between the level I played at and Steph Curry and these superstars. Huge difference, first of all. And that's just being honest. But when you add a guy like Jimmy Butler with Steph, I think all of a sudden Steph and Jimmy can somewhat pick their spots. I don't think they have to be on full aggression mode for 40 or 30, whatever minutes they're on the floor. But more importantly, maybe, is the dynamic where they're so opposite the way they attack. Obviously, Steph, for the most part, being on the perimeter, spacing the floor, his gravity, and Jimmy almost exclusively inside the three-point line at the mid-post, at the nail, the elbow, where he attacks off one or two dribbles, he's in the middle of defense. So you have that dynamic where all of a sudden, you know, Pods, Moody, Santos, all these guys are pretty much wide open. And all of a sudden, that's a tremendously different shot that they're taking now, and they're taking advantage of it. My Pods made 8 threes last night. I think another factor with me with Jimmy Butler is when he's kicking out of the post or out of the paint, all those players that are catching the ball, they got a live dribble. So they're catching with space, and then if they like the three-point shot, they're confident to knock it down. But maybe more importantly, if the defense does close, they can get by their man on a straight line drive. And that's a huge difference also, because if you go by your man 2, 3, 4 dribbles, your pivot, that's when the defense is collapsing. So I think that's made a huge difference also.
And Kuminga last night, beyond the rebounding, which we talked about at 9 rebounds, it feels like that's something he's capable of all the time, but the passing for Kuminga, the poise, getting into the paint and not just going up with a contested shot. What did you see from him last night as far as growth as a passer?
Yeah, I'm a guy that thinks he's made tremendous strides pretty consistently. He's only 22. I've known Jonathan since he was like 14, 15. He was a New York kid. I recruited him at St. John's. I watched him as a young kid. So I've seen tremendous progress straight through. There's been some, patches of with injuries and lineup changes, things like that. But for a 22-year-old kid, I think he's done a tremendous job individually. And this Warriors team, we all know they play a unique style. So it's not the most, for those young kids, they don't grow up playing that way. 3 dribble limit, 0.5 basketball. It's actually probably the opposite the way they grow up playing. But I think he's done a great job. I think they need him. And we saw that last night. You mentioned his rebounds. That's always important for when you're playing the 3-4, the front court. You got to get defensive rebounds. But his individual defense, just physically matching up with Luka and LeBron. To me, I thought last night, Luka really struggled all night. LeBron had a very good game. But if you can play those guys one-on-one, selectively double-team them, and keep the role players down, you beat that team. And, with this roster that the Warriors have, to me, on a given night, Steph and Jimmy pretty much equalize LeBron and Luka. They may outplay them, or they may get outplayed, but they're equalized. Now, if you look at the rest of the Warriors roster versus the Lakers roster, I'm taking the Warriors roster all day long.
Love that. Love that. Chris Mullin is with us here, stopping by. We're live at Splash outside Chase Center, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. What do you think happened psychologically last night? Because the Lakers have had their number in recent years.
I think it was look, anytime you win, you feel good about yourself. You feel better about everything's better. Mental block, maybe. But to me, these next 6 games, I think the Warriors, I think it's important they play the way they've been playing since Jimmy got here. Get the week off, and then it really means nothing.
Yep.
Because now you're talking about a 7-game matchup, adjustments within game, adjustments game to game. So to me, maintain this level of play, maintain your confidence, your rhythm, get Jonathan a little bit acclimated from, just coming back off injury, and then really ultimately, you get the week off. It really doesn't matter that much. It's a big difference back. We never had that week off. So the playing teams will be playing. It's a full week. So you rest your bodies, start preparing for who that first round opponent is. But I'm not quite sure all that carries over. Now, if you play the Lakers, you have a little formula what worked against them, right? That's all good, but you got to go back and do it again.
No doubt. And if you look at the matchups that might be ahead, OKC is, beyond the pale. You're not going to be the 8. They're the 1. Like, who do you look at, Mully, as the team that you would, if you were Steve Kerr and if you were on this team and you look at who is the most vulnerable or the most gettable in the first round, who's that team you like?
Well, right now they're looking at maybe Houston, Denver, or Lakers, correct?
Probably.
Give or take, something like that.
Yep.
To me, all different approaches, different game plans, but they can beat all 3. Mm. And I'd say all 3 would be 6 or 7. Now, we'll find out who those teams are. But with Houston, obviously the inexperience, I think the Warriors offensively could put a lot of pressure on them. And they're more of a defensive team than an offensive team. And Emay Udoka has done a great job with that young team. But haven't been there before, so I'm taking experience, and then the fact that a lot of times the Warriors, when they're rolling like last night, they can put a lot of pressure on you to make shots, and that's something Houston struggles with. Denver and the Lakers, we know what the deal with those teams are. You're gonna have to neutralize to a degree, the impact that Luka and LeBron have. Make the role players beat you, which I think we saw last night. That would be the formula.
Austin got hot late, but
that would be the formula to beat
the
Lakers. You kind of see that. And with Denver, I think the concern obviously is the size, getting in foul trouble. But again, a lot of these past, they haven't beat the Denver Nuggets in, what, eight or whatever the number.
Nine straight.
All pre-Jimmy Butler. So
that's
kind of throw them out the window, but ultimate respect, they're champions. Nikola Jokic is one of the greatest of all time. So that presents its own problems. But again, to me, you got to get into their bench. They're not as deep as they were. And if I'm the Warriors, and I got Christian Braun, Aaron Gordon, Porter Jr., all those guys, if the last 5 minutes of a game, I'm putting pressure on them to beat me. Now the Warriors have two ultimate playmakers and closers with Steph and Butler. The huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. All of that stuff is so fascinating about tonight. We were talking about this yesterday. I think the world was expecting last night to be a Warriors fatigue game. Well, Lakers had three nights off. Warriors at the end of a really long trip. I was surprised at how active they looked. Can we be surprised by that again tonight? Like, what are you expecting them to have in terms of fatigue tonight?
I don't think much. I think it's the time of year. First of all, look at you guys. We're sitting out here in the sun.
It's got
the spring vibe, right? Yeah. You got the young energy.
Yep.
I think their depth will come into play. Steve went to the bench early last night. It's got good production there. And I think as far as the vets go, with Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy Butler, they're in playoff mode now. They want to get these next six games, like as I said, I think playing great basketball, win as many as you can, and get that week off. So I don't think they're thinking about that. No, they got rest coming.
Yep.
They can see that at the end of the tunnel here after these six games. So stack as many wins as possible, get the best seed, stay healthy, and maintain this momentum they've gained since Jimmy got here.
Experience versus fatigue, and you played into your mid to late 30s, and you know, as an NBA player, like, how much is it a benefit to have the experience versus the detriment of needing more rest as you get deeper in the year?
Yeah, I always felt like I'll take talent over experience, you know, when it comes down to it. And for me, fatigue, I always felt personally, was if I was chipped up. If I'm not injured, I'm not getting tired. You know, these guys are in phenomenal shape. They took such great care of themselves. The only time you really feel fatigue is if you've got an injury and it's kind of wearing you down a little bit and you're not at peak performance. But besides that, I don't think guys are worried about being fatigued at this time of year.
Have you ever seen a defender like Draymond Green? I mean, have you ever seen someone that compares to him in your career?
Yeah, I think he's very unique. I know Steve Kerr. Look, Steve has played with some incredible all-time players and defenders. You know, two being Michael and Scotty. Those when Steve was with the Bulls, they were the two best defenders in the league, I think, and they were on the same team. And those guys could play 1 through 5. They didn't. Back then, I don't think they did as much as switching as we did. I mean, as they do now. Tim Duncan, David Robinson. There's some great, great ones. The unique thing about Draymond is he's a great individual defender. He's phenomenal. And I was watching last night, as I said, calling out switches and directing the defense before something happens. So he'll squash things and won't show up because he already took care of it.
Yep.
Right? So things like that. And I think in this day and age, the fact that teams switch so much, so it's so important to be able to guard the pick and roll, switch onto a straight line driver and keep him out of the middle and contest the two. So Draymond's got that unique combination of, you know, he's got great length, his wingspan's tremendous, so he can switch across the floor. He's got good lateral quickness, lateral movement. And I think what sets him above everyone else is his IQ. I watch him all the time. And he's got the knowledge and the experience of where he wants that person to shoot from. Because you're not going to have NBA players not get shots off, but it's where you direct them to, whether it be going to his left hand, make him get to 15 feet as opposed to 12 feet in the post, pushing the guy out of the paint and having him shoot, like I said, like an 11-foot as opposed to a 9-footer, front in the post. So he does all those things, plus communicates. And he's done it for so long. So at 35, to be able to still be playing at that level, like Steph, like Jimmy Butler, is amazing because we haven't seen a team win a championship with their three best players at the ages that Steph, Draymond.
Right.
But I would say this, hard to compare a 35-year-old now. Dibs, you and I can attest to that.
Mully, no doubt. And the last team to do it was the last year that the Bulls won it with Jordan. And they had Ron Harper and company. I just want to say.
And Kerr.
Put your stripes down.
Mark Lindsay, it's Trey just, Maddox, and Scott Twardsky.
Yeah, well, you
go
take
easy
it,
on my guys tonight, Mully. Mully, you can put that on, Mully.
Throw it away.
Mully, you know what?
Look at that thing.
Mully, throw it on. Your boy's out there.
I ref CYO. I did it all.
I'm still doing it, Mully.
I give you a lot of credit.
You ref.
But I got to say that is a personality defect to want to be a referee.
Right?
I appreciate
just for the jump.
And to defend him, to come in here every day like it's some sort of, right?
I'm glad you're
finally using it for what it is.
I appreciate your loyalty. I question your judgment.
Thank you so much for coming by, man.
Pleasure, man.
Really
see you guys.
Guy.
See you. Take care,
really
man.
Really good to see you.
Mully.
Chris Mullin here on 95.7 The Game, jumping by here as we're just outside Splash getting ready for the big night between the Warriors and Nuggets.
We should probably go to break because I may start crying.
But we're not gonna. We will. But
I might, and we won't. But like, if you think about, and I think about you as a young man, it was probably Will Clark for you. Like your number one as a kid.
It was him for the Warriors. It was him.
For me, it was him. It was him when he was at St. John's.
He's him.
Dude, I wore number 17 as an eighth grader in CYO because he wore 17. And he wore 20 at St. John's. My brother wore 20, so don't get me started on that, man. And, I've had a few chances to talk to him. And every time, it's funny because Bonte actually, a couple years ago, he's like, Dibs, I know you love Mully. Come over here. And I'm, hey, Chris, how you doing? Dan Dibley. He's like, why are you so in love with the refs?
Yeah.
And he came right at me.
So ask that question.
I'm glad I brought it today. Because it's been a thing that he's come at me for years now over the fact that I do love the officials. Yeah. Whatever.
We all have our quirks.
Yep.
You do too. Yours is just weirder than the rest of our quirks.
It's
That's different, for sure. Yeah, it's
like
super
the
weird.
Person who goes to the craps table and bets on the don't pass. Like everyone's trying to like.
See, but you know what? I'm glad you brought that. That's a phenomenal.
Because that's what it is.
That's a great comparison.
Yeah.
That is a great analogy. The person who, and if you don't play craps and know what Dibs means by that, the person who plays the don't pass line.
Right, rooting against everyone.
It's just someone who walks into the room, sees what everyone's doing and goes, bleep all of you, I'm here to root against you.
Your losses are my wins.
Right,
yes.
Right. I want to see all of you get sad. That's why I showed up here. It's like someone who brings a bottle of wine to the party, but they know that it's corked. And they're like, all right, here we go. Let's drink this.
Let's ruin everything. Here's a box of wine. Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely crazy.
Anyway,
Mully.
Dude.
Mully on the show.
And I love it because what he broke down about last night was like, okay, Steph and Jimmy versus LeBron and Luka, if that's even Steven, and last night it kind of was, then you go to the others, and Austin Reeves was amazing, so was Pods. Okay, next level down, Kuminga and Draymond versus Jared Vanderbilt. And that one really big guy who, we don't really know about, the 7-footer.
I tell you what, you know what pops to mind when he says that? And the comment that you're referencing where he says, look, Steph and Jimmy, that kind of, it cancels out the other teams that have two stars. And I don't even know necessarily how many of them there are. Yes, Luka and LeBron is what he's talking about. But if I think about the Nuggets or the Thunder or the Rockets, they don't have two stars at that level. The Warriors kind of have an advantage on them as far as that is concerned. But he basically said, look, those are all canceled out. One pairing might play well, the other one might not, but they cancel each other out. Now look at the rest of the roster, and I'll take the Warriors over the Lakers. I thought that was a very interesting comment, and it makes me think of something LeBron talked about last night after the game. Some people took this as almost ridiculous. I didn't really think LeBron was whining or complaining about it, but they asked him about the new-look Warriors. Jimmy Butler's on the team, and he's like, man, that franchise always figures it out. They always make an acquisition at a top level. I've been going against them since Kevin Durant was there.
Yeah.
And he kind of gave the reporters a look like, and that was like ridiculous.
Unfair.
How the hell is that even fair? And a lot of people looked at him and went, dude, are you kidding me? Your team just acquired Luka Doncic in the middle of the night at the trade deadline.
And you were the first ever to assemble a super team in Miami.
You've had every single teammate you've wanted.
Ever.
Throughout. Like, that man, Steph Curry, won with Andrew Wiggins as his number two. So I thought that was kind of an interesting play. And when you start to pick apart the roster, I do think now that Jimmy Butler is here, yeah, man, this thing stacks up. It stacks up a lot.
Well, especially if you go like 1 vs. 1, 2 vs. 2, 3 vs. 3, and then if you can get like your 4, 5, 6, and 7 to play like that, well, then, yeah, you're a believer. Shout out the Monkees.
Live at Splash, getting you ready for the big game against the Nuggets, brought to you by Xfinity Stream Sports. From the best seat in the house with Xfinity, bring on the good stuff. We'd like to bring on your phone calls. I'm convinced. Last night, that was the one I needed to see. Where are you? 888-957-9570. We'll let you hear what Steph, Draymond, and Steve had to say about Jonathan Kuminga last night. Also, those LeBron comments we were just referencing, we have those coming up next as well. On Willard and Dibbs.
I ref CYO. I did
I'm
it all.
I'm still doing it, Mully.
I give you a lot of
play
credit.
You ref.
But
my
that
God.
Is that. But I got to say, that is a personality defect to want to be a referee.
Right?
I appreciate
just
for the
and
jump.
To defend him, to come in here every day like it's some sort of I'm glad
bear,
you're
Mully.
Finally using it for what it.
I appreciate your loyalty. I question your judgment.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I think I'm going to borrow that. I appreciate your loyalty. I question your judgment.
Yeah, and you're fair to do so, but when you love a sport and you want to be a part of a sport, you've got certain avenues. And for me, as a 4'10" freshman, I made the Casa Grande freshman team, and I was tiny and I stunk. Sophomore year, cut. Went to Marin Catholic, junior year cut, and I really, really badly wanted to be Chris Mullin. And so you try it, and you work on your game, and you wind up being 5'8", slow, can't jump, can't really do anything well, and then you get to a certain point where you still really want to be a part of the game, and you have a choice at that point. You either coach or you officiate. And for me, at that point, as a 22-year-old, what I realized was I'm much more elite as an official than I was as a coach, and so you go into officiating.
Are you missing the obvious here? When you can't play, you either coach or officiate. Or what is this thing on your head?
Well, and I do that too.
You broadcast.
Right.
Let the love of the officials go and start looking up to people like Kevin Harlan or something.
And I do, but I also think about people like Ed Malloy and Zach Zarba and Detritus Petititis, who refereed the game.
That sounds like a disease.
And it's actually close to his name, but it's not accurate. But I do look at what... And fine, you broadcast, and neither one of us does play-by-play
That's how I started.
Not for a basketball team.
College.
Right, and I did high school, and that's fun. But when you really want to be a part of the game, when you're an official, you are a part of the game. And some refs are more a part of it than what we would like. But for me, and even at my pathetic little fourth and fifth grade level, when I officiate a game, I'm in the game. And like, you're a part of the game and the back and forth. And I do love that. And you're on the court and you're going up and down and there's exercise and it's fun and it's basketball and every game is different. That's a lot more of a visceral, tangible experience than just broadcasting.
Okay. I mean,
and I'm into it.
Yeah. Everybody gets to be in whatever they're into.
Everybody is different, and that's why.
Whatever you're into, buddy.
And when it gets colder, these are coming on because Grandy told us earlier, hey, you know what? We're going to be outside. You want to bring layers? And so I looked at my car. I'm like, damn, I don't have a lot of layers. I have a ref shirt, and I got my poncho.
If I knew that's what you were going to bring,
seriously,
I wouldn't have texted you.
Well, then you should have been better about it. That's on you.
It's called jackets. You can get yourself a jacket.
Yeah.
It's a jacket.
whatever.
It's a jacket.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I got a ref shirt and a poncho.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on now.
Hot mess. Anyway, 888-957-9570. We got a lot to get to. I want to play some of this for you. But first, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Joe in San Jose. Hi, Joe. What are you doing?
Listening to you guys, that was a phenomenal game last night. It was very intense. It felt like a playoff game. The Warriors played good, but the only thing I was concerned about is Draymond Green turnovers. That was unnecessary. They were up by 10, and he threw the ball half court, and Jimmy Butler let him know you can't do that. What do you guys think about those? I mean, that game was as was close. I mean, they could have lost that game. The Lakers is no joke. And you can't, those possessions are valuable. And Draymond made some turnovers that was not necessary, given that they were up by 10 points. What do you guys think about that?
I tell you what, I mean, Joe, for me, like, I certainly can't argue that there was some slop as a part of that that meal last night from Draymond Green, some passes that he would love to have back. But there's two things that popped in my mind. First of all, you're not talking about a role player. You're not talking about somebody who was overwhelmed by the moment. You're talking about Draymond Green. And Joe, don't you think whatever mistakes he might have made, ball handling on the offensive end, he made up for it with the defensive plays at the end that basically won the game. Like when that thing was kind of suddenly slipping away there in that last minute, his pick of Luka Doncic to me was the play of the night.
I totally agree with you 100%. They played a phenomenal game. But I just think that when you in these close games, they could have lost that game. I just think that was unnecessary. They're up by 10. Take some time off the clock. You don't need to rush it. They're not behind. I can see if they're behind, then you're making a desperate play. But that was not necessary. Thanks for taking my call.
The one that really sticks out to me, and I have it up here on the screen for you, Mark, as we look through it, because we talked about the Laker-Bulls game. Remember when the Bulls scored 9 points in 12 seconds or whatever it was?
12 seconds, yes.
Part of that was LeBron James with a very lazy inbound pass. So the Warriors are up 5, 32.2 to go. He inbounds to Steph.
Yeah.
Steph goes back to Draymond, and then Draymond throws a very lazy pass to Jimmy that is stolen. And at that moment, with 31 left, up 5, I had that, Casey Schmidt moment.
Oh, yeah, like, because if the Lakers hit a 3 right there, it's a two-point game. Yes.
And it would be above 24 seconds, so it would be a two-possession game. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my God, here we go, because LeBron bats it away, and he gets it in the corner. They kick it out, and Reeves, and wide-open 3, and they miss.
He missed it.
And if they would have made it, now it's a two-point game. So, of all the Draymond turnovers, and he had 5 assists, 5 turnovers, not terrible. And you're right, he played awesome on defense, so you'll forgive it. But it was that last one where
I agree.
You're up 5, and it's like, are we going to be able to hold on here, people?
Remember, this is a game where I had told my son with a minute to go, hit him with the night-night.
Nice.
Hit him with it. This thing's cooked. We're up by 10 with a minute to go. This thing's stupid. The Lakers are lame. Let's go to bed.
Yep.
Right? And then next thing you know, someone's pulling up with 30 seconds left for a shot that would cut it to 2.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that was very nerve-wracking.
And it was already a bit of a Laker flurry with, like,
Austin
Reeves was like, oh, my God, I'm Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
I'm actually better than this.
There.
And he was 6 of 9 from 3.
Look,
he was pods in the first half in the fourth quarter.
They are a good basketball team.
Yep.
This is part of the point that I'm waking up with today, which is that is a really good basketball team. That is a team that, you know, we haven't even brought this up yet. Michael Thompson comes on our show yesterday and goes, they're going to beat the Warriors up. They're going to beat them up. They're more physical. You know, the Warriors are a contender, but the Lakers are kind of more so of a contender. They're at home. They're rested. They're going to physically manhandle them. I wonder what Michael thinks today. Like, that's a good basketball team, and you have to also, therefore, then give that credit for the way that they approach this thing defensively. And it led to some poor decisions by Draymond Green. It led to some bad passes. But the Warriors had enough plays to survive. So I think I made this comment to you yesterday. When we got to this week, and you go, end of a trip at Memphis, at LA, then no break, home for Denver and Houston. One thing I personally have no room for this week is getting upset at the way victories came together.
Right.
If you win these games, high five, let's drink.
Yep.
That's it.
Great.
That's it.
Let's drink.
Great. Let's drink.
I'm with you.
Like that, like I get it. There are going to be frustrating moments, bad plays, poor decisions, all of these things. But when you win games like that, that means you're doing so many more good things than bad. I just don't really have too much room to focus on the bad.
I never have room for an apology over a win, because winning in anything, baseball, basketball, football, soccer, sometimes you play a soccer game and the other team has a big mistake and it's an own goal, and then maybe you get a penalty and you get a second goal and you win 2-1, and even though they had possession and they were better than you, you win 2-1, you don't apologize. You don't apologize for wins. And when you take an L at the same time, maybe you play better than the other team and you still lose? Well, that's just one of those things where you played well, you didn't play well enough when you had to, you took the L, you don't get credit for a moral victory. So I don't believe in moral victories, and I also don't believe in apologetic wins as well.
Yep. Dave in the city is next up. Hi, Dave. What are you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm on this traffic on 680 in Sunil. It's terrible, per usual.
Yeah, always is. I mean, you've you got slow going. You got construction going south and in the north. If you're not willing to pay for that HOV lane, you're going to be stuck in there for 40 minutes now.
You know, you're not doing that job anymore, right?
I love that job.
Yeah, I know, but you don't have to give the traffic update. The
traffic and weather coming up in 5 minutes. But go ahead.
All right. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what I really like about the Warriors right now is how many times since we got Jimmy, we've been able to grind out the win. And learning how to win in close games. That's what's going to be predicated in the playoffs, is being able to win those close games when teams are throwing punches at each other. And to come out on top of the Grizzlies game and last night's game with everything on the line, I mean, that's getting you ready for playoff basketball. So I'm definitely excited for that.
And that's on the road, too, Dave. Like, I mean, I think there's a couple, Dave, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
I really appreciate kind of where you're coming from on this, because let's think about it. I think it's very important in moments like this to not forget some things. First of all, the number one stat of all the things that we all talk about, to me, is that when Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry play together, they're 19-2. 19-2.
Jeez.
I don't care what your schedule is.
That sounds pretty good.
I don't really want to hear from anybody. Yeah, but they only played the Hornets. 19-2.
My goodness.
That is elite NBA basketball. And this sort of snuck up on us in a slow way. Remember when the road trip started? And they lost in Atlanta.
Oh, God.
And then Jimmy's return to Miami, and they lost.
And he was, mostly flaccid.
And he was completely non-existent. And everybody had their reasons, and there was reason for concern all of a sudden. And then what happened? There were some who said, look, chill on all of the points that you're making. It's this simple. Steph didn't play. So until this is happening, when Steph doesn't play, don't worry about it. Well, what happened in the next four games of the road trip?
He played and they won, Mark.
Steph played and they went 4-0.
Yep.
So there you go. There you go.
Well, they beat two weak sticks, and we all thought, okay, good.
Right.
You're supposed to beat them. And then you went to Memphis, and I think he had a pretty good game.
52.
Yeah, not bad. And then you went to L.A., and he had a quiet 37.
Quiet 37.
Which is weird to say, because I'm watching the game, and I'm doing everything I'm doing, and, it's bath time, and I'm watching it, and I'm recording it and the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, in the post game, he's being interviewed on TNT, and I'm like, oh, I thought it might have been pod. And then they put up the graphic, and he had 37.
37
points.
And
I'm like, he had 37?
We called it gauntlet week. So far, he's averaging 44.5 points per game.
In the gauntlet. Right.
On the road, at the end of a trip, tired, exhausted, all of those things.
National TV, LeBron. And in the first half, they were kind of like harassing him, and they were Steph stopping him. They made it really hard on him, and thank God that Pods was going bananas, because he carried them in the first half.
Well, no, that's, I mean, like, if you can get even just one or maybe hopefully two of your role players to kind of contribute in that sort of a way, I think this becomes a very difficult team to beat.
Yeah, fair.
A really difficult team to beat. But I think, you know, we get so like involved in each game and each night and each trip and each homestand, sometimes it's hard to remember things like that, which is, hey, step back from the whole road trip. They went 4-2. What did you notice about when they were 0-2? And what did you notice about when they were 4-0? Steph played the wins. He didn't play the losses. If you're a Warrior fan, you got to come out with all kinds of excitement about that fact. Because this team right now is really kind of sending a consistent message. If healthy, almost always win.
Right, when Steph plays. I mean,
if healthy, covers it.
If he's healthy,
yes,
is the thing.
And Jimmy.
Well,
and Jimmy.
And we talked about this before where the Warriors on the road without Steph Curry in the lineup, they shoot 27% from three, and they don't win. When Steph is playing on the road, they shoot a lot better, and they win a lot more. So it's almost that simple. And, you know, Jimmy's a guy who, I know he's got the forearm strain. I would imagine he's going to play tonight because that's what Jimmy does. And
yep,
unless his arm is, like, literally hanging off. So he'll play, and it's a home game. And, yeah, it's a tough one because you're playing a lot of games in a row, and you played last night in L.A., but this is another one where you get up for it. National TV, if I'm not mistaken. You got the Joker in town and a team that's beaten you 9 straight times. I would imagine they're going to get up for this one easily.
I mean, that's basically what Mully just said to us as well, right? I mean, he basically said, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot in the way of fatigue at this point, even though it feels like we're expecting it. So maybe he's right. Now, the other thing that a lot of people pointed to, and it's part of what we've said today, that might have been, I don't want to call it his signature game or this, that, or the other. That was as much fun as I've had watching Jonathan Kuminga play basketball all year long. Because he was smiling, he looked confident, he was playing the way I think the Warriors want him to play. It was clear that he was very focused on defense and rebounding. And then take a listen to what some of the guys had to say about it. So let's take HR 45 from Draymond and had this to say with regard to Jonathan Kuminga last night.
Takes his team to another level. He was so patient, let the game come to him. You know, he got going a little bit getting downhill as soon as he got in there. But I thought the biggest play he made was when he got in the middle of the paint and kicked it out to Moses. That just shows growth. He can take that shot. He can make that shot. And he does often. But to go in there, not take that shot and have the shot, but kick it out for an even better shot and get someone else going, that's what stars do. So it's just good to see that next level of growth from him. And, you know, we need him to continue playing the way he played tonight.
Okay, that's the first one from Draymond on Kuminga. There's another one. Lucas, hit the next one where Draymond's talking about the defensive side.
Luka, LeBron, everybody he got on. Austin Reeves at times, he was asking for those matchups. It says a lot. You know, we challenged him in private. We challenged him publicly to step up on the defensive end, and he did that. He was great offensively, but he was even better defensively.
There it is. He was great offensively, but he was even better defensively.
Right. He was great at the point of attack. He was great in help defense. And the thing about it for me is he defensive rebounded. He had 7 defensive rebounds. He had 9 in totality. And when you just watched him, and I'm glad you used the word happy, like you were happy watching him play the way he did. He looked happy to be playing the way that he was playing. And, you know, Draymond and Steph and Steve, and I know we're going to play all the sound, but they all were beating the same drum, which is this, Jonathan. This is the Jonathan that if we get this from you, and, you know, Steph is going to do Steph things, and Draymond is going to be such a great contributor, and Jimmy Butler is so solid in so many ways. Fine, pods went bananas. You can't count on that.
Sure.
But if JK can do that, which is do everything, all the little things that JK is able to do, well, now all of a sudden we got action, guru voice.
Yes, we do.
And you did that earlier.
No,
yeah,
that's
on the show thread.
That's kind of how I felt at the end of the game. I'm like, oh, my God. oh my God, there's nothing that they can't do. Doesn't mean they will.
Yeah.
But everything is on the table now.
And here's the Kuminga play that that Draymond was referencing. He drives into the middle, and he's got room to shoot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can rise and fire from 12, but he terminates the dribble. Whoop! Out to Moses. Open. Three.
Splash.
Bang.
Splash. And the Warriors go up by 9. This was in the second quarter.
And that play, just to have that presence of mind to not try to get the ha-ha and try to cook. You know what I mean? Because we all want J.K. to cook and, you know, the contract and all this.
I don't want J.K. to cook.
They don't either.
Thank you.
And he made the right play there.
I want the Warriors to cook.
And in that moment, they cooked.
When he plays like that, that to me is cooking.
And he was the sous chef.
That's
and Moses
basketball.
Moody
yes.
was the chef de cuisine. And he got to the paint and he realized that, oh, Moses, boom, straight pass out to Moses, corner three.
I love what you're saying. This is, there's a maturity level that sometimes is missing from the Kuminga conversation. Like, there aren't 12 different teams on the Warriors where all the players come out and their agent is there and Shams is there with his phone.
Right.
And the ladies are there and the boys are there. The entourage is there. And we're like, all right, what's my team going to do tonight? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to cook. Bleep that.
Right.
I've had enough of that conversation. There are roles to be played. Look at Jimmy Butler. Do you think Butler all of a sudden is like, wait a minute, I'm an NBA one.
Yeah.
Has no problem being the two.
No.
Has no problem scoring 11 points in a big game if that's what you need. The whole game is, this is the Warriors. Can you do what they're asking you to do? And Jonathan did it brilliantly last night. That is cooking.
Yeah.
That's the ha-ha.
Well, watch him cook here. Warriors up 11, 7 minutes to go. And, you know, Steph is coming down the floor and all attention on Steph. JK sets the screen. He rolls and he gets it here, Mark. And he has a chance to drive. LeBron is stepping up.
Beautiful pass, bounce pass to Looney, right?
Exactly.
For a dunk.
So,
yep.
I mean, JK might have wanted to go up and around or over LeBron, but instead, under control, bounce pass, Looney, dunk.
Huge bucket.
Up 13.
Huge bucket with 6.5 to go.
JK, poise, bounce pass, made the right play. It just, those little things, and, you know, I'm hearing all the comments about, yeah, this is the JK we need, and it would be great for that to be the case, but in the moment last night, that was it, bro. JK, for me, he gets a 10 out of 10.
I could not agree more. And you're really going to want to hear what Steph Curry had to say about the Jonathan Kuminga situation. Not just about Jonathan, but the situation. So we'll have that for you coming up next. Your phone call is always welcome. 888-957-9570. That is the number live at Splash. The Warriors and Nuggets getting together tonight, and we're talking it out. Tim Roy's going to stop by as well on his way into the arena. This is Willard and Dibs.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.